Welcome to Romance After Dark, where love takes center stage, and we're your one-stop shop for all the romance feels. Get ready to swoon, laugh, and cry as we dive into the world of all things romance. On each episode, we'll plunge into the vibrant and fantastic world of author Ashlyn Lane. From her award-winning Progeny series to the rocker romance series, Alterity. Unwrap your favorite romance movies, dissecting the good, the bad, and the downright swoon-worthy. Relive the most romantic moments and shocking plot twists from your favorite romance TV shows, offering spoilers and juicy commentary. Whether you're a die-hard romantic or a casual observer, we guarantee you'll find something to love on Romance After Dark. So grab your favorite beverage, cuddle up with a blanket, and get ready to fall in love with us. Episode 19, Keeping Up Appearances. Prologue, The Birth. Clichy, France, December 30th, 1923. 2:13 a.m. Jonas Rousseau shouted, "Push! I can't!" Beatrice Westridge leaned against his chest, exhausted. The sweat of her endeavors misted her forehead, gluing the chocolate-brown bangs of her sleek bob to her face. She drew a short breath, panted, and then groaned in agony. "I can't do this." "Come on, Bea." Olivia Rousseau positioned her patient's legs further apart. "I can see something. Give me another push." Jonas, Olivia, Gabe, and Quinn had stood vigil by the iron bed for the better part of 3 days, each of them awaiting the arrival of a new Rousseau child. Observing the two men, the patriarch acknowledged their differences. While both possessed the neon blue eye color and fair skin common in all vampires, Quinitello Rousseau was larger in stature, blonde-headed, and Nordic in appearance. The tallest of the Rousseau boys, Gabriel stood well over 6.5 feet tall and was Jonas's biological child conceived before his turning. With shoulder-length inky black hair, Gabe was also his father's spitting image. Quinn was Jonas's grandson several times removed, but to keep up the human facade, he was known by most as Jonas Rousseau's wild child. The Rousseau clan was made up of the firstborn sons of each Rousseau male, turned by their own father. This fact made the bloodline the purest of any vampire family, giving the men a shared mortal and immortal lineage. The baby would share that same pedigree, but what gifts and attributes would it receive from both sides of its parentage? These were just a few of the questions Jonas had about the impending delivery. The birth would either prove to be a miracle or humanity's damnation. At this point, there was just no way to be sure which was true. Nevertheless, Jonas simply wanted a healthy baby and mother. "She's been in pain for days and pushing for hours with no notable change," Jonas griped. "How long are we going to let her suffer before we take the baby?" "Olivia," Bea whined, the chills causing her lips to tremble. "What's happening? Something's oozing from me. Oh God, the pain. I can't take it anymore." Olivia glanced up with terror in her eyes. "Quinn, Gabe, I need your help. The baby is in a breech presentation with the bum coming first. We've got to turn it. Bea, I need you to stop pushing now." "No, Olivia. I need to get it out. Please, I have to get it out. Jonas, do something." Jonas stared at the woman he loved more than his own existence. A pale shade of hollow gray replaced the creamy ivory that was once her complexion. Sweat dotted the sunken cheeks that were once dewy pink and blushed with vitality. Her skin stretched tight across the bones, exposing the bluish veins underneath. A black and blue version of her former self, Bea's frail frame was the result of a difficult pregnancy and nights of excruciating pain. Jonas felt like a sadist for letting it get this far, but termination was a word he dared not mention unless he wanted an argument. Bea gasped another breath and then wheezed as her compromised lungs struggled for air. Jonas squeezed her hand tighter, waiting for her to reciprocate the gesture, but her grasp was now weaker than it was just 30 minutes before. Jonas's thoughts flashed back to the first time he'd seen Beatrice Westridge. She was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen. The fact that she was his intellectual match was an added bonus. Her brown eyes resembled warm pools of hot chocolate that exuded a life force that pierced his silent heart. The warm rays of her smile were like beacons beckoning him with the promise that he might be more than the cold skin that encased him. Jonas adored her, exulting in every precious beat of her heart. It became his lifeline, the measure of his existence and its worth, the most significant sound in his world. "Jonas," Olivia shouted, breaking through his pleasant reverie. Quinn took his position to the right of the bed. "Father?" Gabe stood on the left. "We can't wait for him to be lucid, not if we're going to save Bea and the baby." "When I say turn," Olivia instructed, "I want both of you to move her stomach to the right. The baby's bum is at the pelvic bone. I'm going to push up when you move it. Ready? Turn." The unmistakable sound of bones grinding and breaking filled the temporary silence. Bea clutched Jonas and screamed. "That was better," Olivia prompted. "The baby turned a little. Let's do it again. Ready? Turn." "Oh, God." Bea groaned as they twisted at her stomach. Her pelvic bone fractured with a snap, the sounding of twigs crunching beneath treading feet. Jonas clutched his beloved's back just as her body slumped forward. "Everything is going to be okay. It's almost over." He felt bad about the false encouragement, knowing he'd seen corpses with more life. "It turned." Olivia gave Quinn and Gabe appreciative nods. "Now, Bea, when I tell you to push, I want you to give me everything you have. Push as hard as you can. The head is near crowning. 1, 2, 3. Everyone in the room counted in that tone doctors and nurses use during a delivery. Steady, monotone, rhythmic. "Push, Bea." Jonas held her up, supporting her weakened back, helping her to bear down. "Good," Olivia praised. "This baby has a head full of the Rousseau dark hair." Nervous laughter filled the room. Jonas fidgeted as his eyes floated from Olivia to Bea's wandering stare. He wasn't sure what was coming. He and Gabe had successfully facilitated this pregnancy while working on Project Progeny. But at what cost or detriment to the woman he loved? This baby was the tangible proof of their work, the result of long hours in the lab and decades of research. "Just one more push, love." Jonas squeezed Bea's clammy hand in his own. "One more time and the baby will be here." Olivia had her orders to medicate Bea immediately after the delivery. They needed to inspect the child to decide if she should see it. The next push produced the head and a garbled mew that became a high-pitched squeal piercing all their ears. At first glance, it looked and sounded human. Olivia suctioned the mouth and airway. "Gabe, can you take over for me?" Gabe nodded and came to the foot of the bed, gently securing the baby's head in his hands, a look of reverence on his face. The nerves jumped in Jonas's stomach because he'd dreaded this day as much as he'd anticipated it. He knew what they'd done was wrong, but the scientist in him craved the wealth of knowledge that this baby held in its tiny body. It was his child, the same as Gabe and his 6 human daughters who'd long since passed away. Weak contractions pushed the rest of the baby's body from Bea. "What is it?" Quinn asked as he assisted Jonas in making Bea comfortable. "It's a boy." Gabe wrapped the babe in a warm blanket. "Hey, little guy, welcome to the world." Jonas's body rippled with the warmth of pride. He had a son, another heir to carry on the bloodline. "You hear that?" He ran a cold cloth across Bea's heated face. "It's a boy. We have a son." "A boy," Bea whispered with a slight smile. "Is he all right? What is he?" "He's just fine," Jonas assured. "You sleep now while Olivia cleans him up and checks him out. Just a nap." Bea yawned and drifted off. Jonas, Olivia, Gabe, and Quinn crowded around the table, each of them inspecting the baby with curious eyes. 10 fingers and 10 toes. "That's human," Gabe noted. "We all have those," Olivia reminded him. "Pale skin, that's vampire," Jonas concluded. They all sighed. "He's warm like a human and his heartbeat steady and strong." Olivia marveled at the startling fact. They all lowered their faces to discern his essence. "He smells human, but not in a way that is tempting," Quinn stated while scenting him again. Just then, the baby stirred, stretching his little limbs and opening his eyes to peer up at all of them. They all gasped as they studied his ethereal features. His head full of matted jet-black curls framed a face that shone angelically, as if the very beams of heaven spotlighted him. His eyes flashed bright and extremely blue with the wonders of the world, wisdom and sadness existing in their depths. Most babies were born pale and with blue eyes, but this baby looked different. There'd be no way to disguise the fact that he was more than human. "Pale blue eyes and little claws on his fingers," Olivia remarked with wonder as she stroked the baby's hand. "He's definitely one of us, but what are we going to do about Bea? How do we handle the fact that we've created a perfect little creature that we know absolutely nothing about?" The baby cooed, his little lips forming a perfect O, releasing newborn sounds rarely heard by vampires, considering their inability to make life with one another. Even as Jonas stared at him, taking in the subtle flushes of blood under his skin and the unusual way he focused in on each of them, his mind still denied what his eyes clearly saw. He had Bee's stubborn chin and the slight curve of her upper lip, but that was where the similarities ended. His shocking blue eyes were unlike any newborn Jonas had ever seen, and he'd seen his share of babies while surviving his long existence. This child was a miracle. Jonas sighed, his demeanor saddening. I must face the fact that Bee isn't going to make it. She has only a few hours left. As for my son, we'll take him back to the States to raise and observe him. In the hours that passed, the strange little being remained fully alert, his pale eyes silently questioning each of them as they moved him around. He seemed just as curious about them as they were about him. His grip was strong, far stronger than the average newborn. A demanding yelp came from his mouth. Now the true test. Olivia secured a bottle of blood she'd kept on ice, placing it in a pot of hot water to warm it to just the right temperature. She then swaddled the squirmy creature, holding him close in her arms as a tear fell from her eye. "Livy, if it's too hard for you, I can do it," Jonas offered. "No, it's fine. I was just remembering how it felt to hold Tiffany. I'm okay." She cuddled the baby and put the bottle to his lips. His little mouth opened. At first, he looked confused. He took a small pull, paused, then spit the nipple out, crying more and kicking Olivia so hard that she startled. "Whoa," Olivia said. "This kid is strong. Now I see why Bee's ribs and abdomen are bruised." Olivia handed him off to his father. Jonas held him, studying his tiny face and attempting to find more of Bee in his perfect features. The baby's inquisitive gaze burned into his father's eyes before giving him a toothless grin. Jonas smiled back at him. He just smiled, and that's definitely not normal human newborn behavior. The room quieted, and everyone watched as Jonas fed him the entire bottle. After downing a second, the baby yawned, stretched, and then closed his eyes, completely satisfied. "He sleeps like a human." Jonas nodded his head when Bee stirred from her slumber. "Bee is waking." The new mom flailed her arms in panic. "Where is he? Where is my son? I had the most horrific dream that my baby was a monster." Olivia gave Quinn and Gabe guarded glances as she motioned them out of the room with her. Jonas brought the baby over, placing him in her shivering arms. "How could anything this beautiful be a monster? He's a precious little angel," Jonas crooned, satisfaction creasing the corners of his lips into a smile. Bee glanced down. "He's perfect, but his skin is so pale. Are you sure he's all right?" "He'll tan up soon." "A possible lie. He's been inside you for months now. The sun will color him right up, or it might pulverize him to dust." The baby squirmed, his pale eyes popping open for a second or two, and he again burrowed into his blanket, settling in for another snooze. "He has your eyes," Bee observed. "Does that mean—" "I know he does," Jonas interrupted, certain that Bee was smart enough to recognize what his bright blue eyes meant. Desperate to avoid the topic of their son's fate, he chose a less distressing subject, hoping she'd let it go. "Have you thought about a name for him?" Bee stared down at her son, tucking the blanket around him. "Asher. I want to name him Asher after my father." Tears dropped from her eyes as she raised the baby to her face, his head flush against her cheek, inhaling him. At that moment, Bee smiled, something she hadn't done in months. Jonas sighed as he caught a glimpse of the woman he'd fallen in love with emerging from the joy she exhibited. Smoothing a cool hand along her strained face, he whispered, "Asher is a fine name, and I'm sure he'll make his namesake very proud. You should rest and conserve your strength. I'll take the baby and tend to him." He leaned down to kiss her, and the pulse in her wrist was less palpable, her eyes less focused. The love of his world was dying. He thought several times during the day about changing her, but could never do that. They'd only discussed it once, and she'd vehemently disapproved of the idea. Jonas fought with the ramifications of her decision, but he loved her enough to honor her wishes. He'd seen the hell Quinn's son Alexander went through with his choice taken from him. He didn't want eternity for Bee if it meant her misery. Jonas had no choice but to let her drift away. Beatrice Westridge passed on peacefully with her son lying snug in her arms as the life drained from her eyes. Jonas brought her body back to the States, to Bonheur, and buried her in the rock garden, a stone bench and rosebush marking the place of his love's eternal rest. Langley, Massachusetts, April 11, 2011. I don't know how much longer I can keep this up. Shauna McCutcheon groaned with frustration as she stood in the doorway of her temporary room on the third floor of Bonheur. I miss you, and that bed is so lonely. I feel the same way, but you heard what Olivia said after the miscarriage. You might feel like you're okay, but we need to wait until after the sealing. Asher drew her closer, cradling her head in his hands. I miss you too, but we need to be sure that you're all right. Maybe you could sneak in here with me. Maybe no one would miss you tonight. Shauna curled herself closer to Asher, inhaling his intoxicating scent. Shauna reasoned that if they couldn't make love, at least she should be able to lay in her fiancé's arms at night. Instead, she endured lonely evenings in the third floor guest room, which she hated and called the Tower of Loveless Torture. Quinn is charged as my chaperone until the sealing, Asher reminded her as if she could forget. And he's not going to let me out of his sight for very long. Sorry, love, but this is good night. But, Asher stared at her, his expression filled with concern. Protesting won't make any difference. A period of celibacy is expected before the sealing as a time to reflect. It's silly, I know, especially when we've already been together. But it's our tradition, torture for the already tormented. Father is old-fashioned about sealings if nothing else, so we must keep up appearances for a while longer. I'll be here first thing in the morning to take you out to the gardens. The fragrant flowers and bright sun made the gardens one of Shauna's favorite places at Bonheur. She could sit for hours listening to Asher read French novels, lulling the day away while snuggling in his embrace. They'd even snuck in a very heated makeout session by the babbling brook on the other side of the estate. Olivia said no sex, though no one said anything about making out, yet another experience to add to their list. It reminded Shauna of the times before they made love and prior to the revelation of his vampire existence, when they had wanted one another so much. Asher's secret had stood in their way back then, while vampire tradition was the wedge separating them now. Obstacles were their norm instead of an exception. Asher never took Shauna as far as the rock garden west of the nursery. When they walked along the path, he always stopped, his expression paining whenever he got within 50 feet of the stone bench sitting amongst several rose bushes. Curious, Shauna wanted to talk with him about it, but the misery on his face told her that it was a sticky subject. Instead, she decided to respect his privacy by not channeling his thoughts. She willed her mind shut, hoping to spare him the pain of knowing that she wondered about it. Ah! Asher flashed a wide grin, and a faint glimmer of moonlight streamed into the softly lit hallway, reflecting against his dazzling smile. That's my girl. The next week will fly by. Soon, we'll seal and be together forever. Shauna grimaced. Now what was that frown for? He paused, his gaze taking on the distant glint that marked his channeling of a mind. You want your mother with you? I don't think she'd understand the blood ritual, but if you decided to have a wedding, we could send her an invitation. Asher narrowed his eyes at her. What else is bothering you? I feel guilty about keeping Katie from them. I mean, come on, Ash. They think the girl is dead. Am I cruel for not calling them? It made no sense for her to feel bad about the situation with her parents. If the roles reversed, they'd do the same. They'd grudgingly neglected to contact her about Katie's disappearance. Thinking about it made her sick to her stomach. Shauna knew she was a better person than her actions. Two wrongs didn't make a right, but she couldn't find it within herself to pick up the phone and call. Shauna, this is what Katie wants. She's 18 now and free to choose her own path. Even if the cops came, they couldn't force her to go home. Your job is to support her decision to live a life with Gabe. They'll blame me, you know. If they do, you mustn't dwell on it. We all know the truth about what happened in Romania. In another year, Katie and Gabe will most likely seal. Did your brother tell you where he's thinking of taking my sister? Australia. And why does that upset you? The distance, mostly. I can't bear to think about her being so far away from me. It was hard enough when she was in Romania for all that time. You are worse than any mother. Katie chose Australia for her honeymoon, and Gabe will do anything to make her happy. He'd much rather stay around here. Asher glanced at her speculatively. That reminds me, you haven't decided about the wedding, or where you want to go for our honeymoon. Asher gave her one of his seductive kisses, his bottom lip subtly enveloping hers. The muscles in Shauna's legs softened until she could barely stand upright. Shivering, she shifted her weight from one leg to the other, her stomach flipping somersaults. If the elders expected her to conform, he needed to keep his soft, sweet, incredibly luscious lips far away from her. Shauna sighed with bliss, her eyes fluttering in an attempt to gather her bearings. "If I'm expected to follow doctor's orders, you can't kiss me like that." Asher flashed her a look full of boyish innocence, drawing her dangerously close until her heart drummed its own version of Morse code and their breathing synchronized. "And why would you deny me the pleasure of your kisses on my lips?" On the brink of losing control and knowing that she shouldn't flirt with him, Shauna gently pressed her lips to his. "It does no good to start something we can't finish." "This is what they call teasing. It's a form of foreplay." He taunted her with another kiss. "I assure you that when the time comes, I'll be ready to consummate our marriage." Shauna leaned against the wall, attempting to put space between them. Asher afforded her no such escape. His hand secured her face as he resumed the lip torture, the tip of his tongue brushing her top lip to coax her mouth open. She pursed her lips tighter until he stepped back. "I know I'm inexperienced, but I've never heard of that. This feels more like coercion." Asher leaned into her, speaking against the skin of her neck. "It's supposed to heighten the experience." "Or drive me completely insane." Chuckling, his mouth returned to hers for another salacious smooch. She tensed as his tongue slipped past her lips. The kiss was too passionate for their current predicament. Warmth crept downward as the effects of their close contact completely overwhelmed her restraint. Her left hand twisted into his raven locks while the right explored the growing bulge in his pants. "Come on, baby." Shauna's hand migrated to his back, straining him closer. He had the look, the one that made everything between her thighs pulse with undeniable desire. He most certainly wanted her. "Take me into the room, Asher. I want you, now." Even as his mouth whispered, "I want you too, but we can't." Anxious fingers defied his words, walking along the hem of her skirt to raise it up her thigh. His hand slipped into her panties, massaging her as his eyes darkened with lust. "Is this what you want?" "Yes. Oh, please." Shauna squirmed to make herself closer, hoping to force a finger inside. If she couldn't have him inside her, a finger would have to do. "Please, I'm okay. I promise." She unzipped his pants, and her fingers warmed with the velvety smoothness of his erection against her hand. "You like that, don't you? If we're quiet, no one will know." "God, baby, we shouldn't be doing this." "Yes, we should." Shauna gave him a firm squeeze and felt every nerve in her body light up like Vegas strip lights. "It can be our little secret. Come on, baby, I need you inside me." Asher's hands moved to her blouse, loosening three buttons so that his fingers teased the nipples through the thin purple fabric of her lace bra. Delicious sensations erupted in her breasts, melting down to her core. The heat from his mouth and the sensual sliding of his tongue along her neck sent threads of electricity rushing through her lustful form. The warmth and wetness welled until she felt herself gush with arousal. Asher moaned into her mouth, his body pressing her flesh against the wall, his hips circling as his hard-on rubbed against her palm. With hurried hands, he freed one of her breasts, taking it into his scorching mouth. "Yes, baby, yes." Shauna's hips rocked back and forth, synchronizing with the languid tongue swipes against her erect nipples. His fingers teasing her clit, she was on the edge and approaching the point of no return. She pushed against him, attempting to lead him into her room, but he held her firm against the wall, continuing to suckle at her. The telltale footsteps coming up the stairway annoyed Shauna. She hardly got a second to spend with Asher alone. Now someone was coming to ruin the few precious moments she'd managed to steal. Asher quickly zipped his pants, fixed her skirt, secured her breasts inside her bra, and buttoned her blouse before his brother turned the corner. Quinn grinned at the both of them, and had undoubtedly been listening, only intervening when the pressure dialed up. He stood still at first, staring at them like a father who didn't approve of his daughter making out with a boyfriend. Putting a finger up, he shook it accusingly, scolding. "None of that," he murmured, the layers of sarcasm heavy in his tone. "You two need cold showers and hormone suppressants. Say goodnight now," he warned, his ancestral French accent muddling the English. "Are you serious?" Asher scoffed. You attempting to discipline anyone about their sexual habits is hilarious. We call you the Casanova of the Rousseau clan for a reason. That might be true, Quinn said with a smirk. But until you seal, I'm responsible for keeping you chaste. So no more of that fooling around. Lifting Shauna's flushed face up to his, Asher kissed her again. I'll see you in the morning. Phone Lucy and let her know what you'd like for breakfast. Okay. Asher winked his eye, then kissed her lips once more. Bonne nuit, mon ange. Good night to you too, je t'aime. I love you too. Asher beamed with happiness. You're learning. I'm very pleased. How can I not? You speak it so often that I don't have a choice. You'll be ready for another trip to France soon. Shauna sighed, wishing the night could continue without their chaperone. Her sex drive was back with a vengeance. Are you sure we can't ditch Quinn and disappear? I heard that. Quinn cleared his throat with measured impatience. And I meant for you to, she grumbled back. Good night, my love. Sleep well. I'll try.